Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Gensol Engineering Limited Q3 FY 2024 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Siddhesh Chawan from Ernst & Young. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rio. Good evening to all the participants on this call. Before we proceed to the call, let me remind you that the discussion may contain forward-looking statements that may involve known or unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors. It must be viewed in conjunction with our business risks that will cause future result performance or achievements to differ significantly from what is expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements. Please note that we have mailed the results, and the same are available on the company's website. In case if you have not received the same, you can write to us, and we will be happy to send same over to you. To take us through the results and answer your questions today, we have the top management of Gensol Engineering Limited, represented by Mr. Anmol Singh Jaggi, Chairman and Managing Director. We will start the call with a brief overview of the quarter gone past and then conduct a Q&A session. With that said, I will now hand over the call to Mr. Anmol Singh Jaggi. Over to you, sir.
Thanks, Siddhesh. Good evening to all our respected shareholders, and thanks for sparing your time to join us on the conference call for the quarter. As we declared yesterday our results, the quarter has been wonderful. On a year-on-year basis, we have improved our revenue by 335%, EBITDA by 312%, and from PAT, we have significantly improved because last year this quarter was negative for us. So it's been an all-round great performance by all verticals. But what I will do is that I would also, because this is our first earnings call that we are ever conducting, I would also start by giving you, one, an update on the business, but also I would want to introduce Gensol Engineering to you because we have never spoken in the past. So my wish is that I take 5 minutes and introduce you to all the business verticals. So from a historical perspective, Gensol Engineering was incorporated in 2012, and we listed on the SME exchange in 2019, 15 October 2019, and migrated to the main board of both BSE and NSE in July of 2023. We started our journey as an advisory company. We were providing only advisory services, technical advisory services, project management, owners, engineers, lenders, engineers, and we had established a very high degree of market share for our advisory services. In 2019, we entered the solar EPC market and voluntarily shut down our advisory services as we wanted to focus on the EPC business. But the learnings from the advisory business, which is our core engineering skill set, have helped us to stand out as a differentiator by creating numerous successful projects. Over the past 2 years, we have decided that we will also play Gensol as a company will play a larger role in India's energy transition story, and we diversified from EPC into EV leasing and EV manufacturing. Gensol Engineering's EPC business has been the bedrock of our growth. We have a team of more than 200 engineers. We have completed more than 600 MW of diverse solar projects, including rooftop projects, ground-mount projects, floating solar projects, spread across almost all the states in the country. Our key criteria for selection of customers is that we go for commercial and industrial kind of customers, and in that, we try to focus on what we call as balance of system. Balance of system basically means that we do not take the module risk, and the module risk or the module is directly procured by the customer. Currently, the solar EPC market is witnessing rapid expansion because of the increased demand for clean and affordable energy sources. This is also greatly supported by the government's visionary initiatives and policies promoting renewable energy, including yesterday evening the announcement by Prime Minister to set up solar homes in India. Gensol's credibility and great engineering prowess helps us to capitalize on this growing trend of renewable energy and electric mobility. To increase our EPC business, we recently acquired Scorpius Trackers in September of 2023, and with its innovative solar panel tracking technology, it allows our customers to get faster paybacks and higher returns on their investments. We have also recently incorporated a subsidiary in Middle East, as Middle East is also becoming a large hub for renewable and hydrogen projects. In fact, Gensol won its first green hydrogen project, emerging as the lowest bidder for NHPC's Kargil Green Hydrogen Mobility Station. Our EPC business is led by Mr. Imran Ali Naqvi, who has been with Gensol since day one. Today, our solar EPC order book is in excess of rupees 1,000 crores, and we have a bid pipeline which is several times larger than the current order book. Our EPC business for the current quarter, quarter three, posted a revenue of rupees 170 crore, which is a 386% YoY increase in revenue. This showcases the tremendous strength of our EPC business. On a nine-month basis, our EPC segment has delivered a 121% YoY growth. Moving on to our second business segment, Gensol took its initial step in the EV leasing business in 2022, having recognized that lack of EV financing was one of the key impediments to wide-scale EV adoption. In May 2023, we set up a subsidiary, Gensol EV Lease Private Limited, which is led by Mr. Amit Kumar. Amit Kumar was previously the managing director of India's largest vehicle leasing company. The leasing business is delivering innovative leasing solutions and EV lifecycle management across two-wheel, three-wheel, four-wheel, light commercial vehicles, heavy-commercial vehicles, and buses. Gensol EV Lease plays a pivotal role in accelerating an adoption of electric mobility across diverse customers. Currently, the asset under management of our leasing business is more than rupees 800 crores. Our leasing business posted a revenue of rupees 32 crores in quarter three FY 2024 and rupees 89 crores on a nine-month basis. Our EV leasing business will be at the forefront of India's transition to electric mobility and has a long, long runway for growth. As our third business segment, Gensol took up the mantle of manufacturing an affordable, smart, urban mobility-focused electric vehicle, proudly made in India, and addressing a large gap in the current EV offerings in the country. Our subsidiary, Gensol Electric Vehicles Private Limited, was incorporated in 2022 and is led by Mr. Prateek Gupta, who previously was the founder of Strohm Motors. We have set up a greenfield, all-electric manufacturing plant in Chakan, Pune, with a production capacity of manufacturing 30,000 vehicles per annum. The vehicle's innovative design, size, weight, and range has been engineered keeping in mind its fitment with urban fleet, cargo segments, and subsequently the urban passenger segment. The car is in its final stage of approval from ARAI, post which we will do the unboxing of the car and its brand and begin the production. Moving to the financial update, the financial performance of the company in the first nine months of FY 2024 reflects a very commendable growth trajectory. On a consolidated basis, revenue has grown in the first nine months from 237 crores to 584 crores, which is a 147% increase. The consolidated EBITDA increased to 169 crores at a 29% margin in the first nine months, representing a remarkable increase from a figure of 50 crores and 21% margin. The consolidated PAT was 34 crores in nine months FY 2024, which is 111% year-on-year growth from rupees 60 crores in the same period last year. In the last one year, we have also strengthened our leadership team with the appointment of seasoned professionals like Mr. Amit Kumar, who is the CEO of the leasing business, Mr. Kanav Garg, who joined us as the Chief Growth Officer, and Ms. Kamaljeet Kaur, who joined us as Chief People Officer, and other senior team members who are shaping the future of the organization. In closing, I extend my sincere gratitude to each one of our respected investors for joining our call. As we reflect on remarkable progress made in our solar EPC, EV leasing, and EV manufacturing segments, it is evident that Gensol is not just thriving, but leading in green energy and clean mobility revolution. Our focus remains on continuing to deliver value to our shareholders and customers. Our commitment to innovation and environment responsibility propels us forward, and the success in Quarter 3 FY24 serves as a glimpse of the significant possibilities that lie ahead. With this, I would want to inform all our shareholders that, respected shareholders, that this has been the summary of what Gensol has built in the few years and how our Quarter 3 has gone by. Siddhesh, with this, we can open up for questions or however you would wish to proceed.
Sure. Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Garvit Goyal from Invest Analytics. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Thanks for the opportunity and congrats for a good set of numbers. My first question is, I was going through your recent interview where you did mention that we will do somewhere around 1200 CR for FY24. But in first 9 months, we are at approx 600 CR. So what is that giving you confidence that we will do somewhere around INR 600 CR of revenues in Q4 FY24?
No, so I think what we realistically aim to achieve in FY24 is 950 crores in top line. We will not be... I think that 1200 crore number will not be achieved. It will be close to 950 crores in our quarter four, which is the current quarter in which we are. We are expecting that we will do at the minimum 300 crores of revenue, at the maximum about 400 crores of revenue. So between 300 and 400 crores, which will take our yearly number to somewhere between 900 to 900 and 950 crores. Which would mean that on a year-on-year basis, last year we did 390 crores approximately. So on a year-on-year basis, we would have still grown about 2.5 times.
So, sir, can you share the reason for this downward guidance?
No, I don't think we want to say that it is a downward guidance. I think to growing 2.5 times on a year-on-year basis, a fantastic growth that we are demonstrating. I am not sure of the television interview that you are referring to, but I do remember that we had given a slightly higher number in the past.
Okay. And sir, can you also put some color on your EV manufacturing business, like what are the timelines and by when, what kind of capacities do we expect to add on?
Sure. So in terms of our EV manufacturing, the plant is fully ready. In fact, we had put out a video of the plant on YouTube also. We have also sent out the teaser of our vehicle. As we speak, there is one test which is pending for the ARAI, and moment we complete that one test, we should be able to receive the ARAI certification. The approximate timeline for that is February end. And once we have the ARAI certification with us, we will take about 2 months to begin production. So in the best case scenario, if by Feb end we get the ARAI approval, then by end of April, we will be able to start the commercial, the trial production from the plant. In terms of the numbers that we will do for FY25, we are projecting about 5,000 vehicles that we will be able to manufacture at our plant, which will give us about 300 crores of top line.
And by FY26, how the ramp up will happen?
In FY26, of course, we will go to almost, we will double up this revenue from 300 crores to 600 crores in FY26.
Okay. And what is your overall guidance of revenues for FY25 and FY26?
So on FY25, where we have a good amount of, certainty, I think Gensol, all the three subsidiaries put together should cross the 2,000 crore mark.
For FY25.
for FY25.
What kind of EBITDA margins do you see? Are the current margins sustainable on consolidated basis?
Yes. So in fact, as the proportion of the leasing business becomes higher and higher, in fact, our margin profile will become even better. So you could expect the EBITDA margins to come in slightly higher in FY25 as compared to FY24. So yes, if we are today doing EBITDA margins of about close to 30%, it'll be in the similar range or slightly higher range than what we have shown in FY24.
Understood. And coming to your EV leasing,
I'm really sorry, but maybe request you to rejoin the queue as there are several participants waiting for the turn.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll move to the next question. The next question is from the line of Shubham Upadhyay from the Microcap Minute. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Hello. Okay, so first of all, congratulations on a good set of numbers. So the new technology which the company has acquired, solar tracker, so exactly how much efficient is this technology when compared to the traditional fixed solar panels? That is the first part. The second part is whether they are single-axis tracker or dual-axis tracker. And finally, how much growth can we see in this particular segment and will it lead to any particular margin expansion for the company?
I'll take the first question. So in terms of efficiency, we are doing single-axis trackers, and single-axis tracker can improve the PLF by about 15-16%. So that's the efficiency that can be brought in by using single-axis tracker. So that answers question one and question two. In terms of where we are seeing the margin expansion coming in, I think as the EPC business is scaling, there is some bit of tailwind which is coming in from there. But a lot of margin expansion will happen as the EV leasing business becomes larger and larger.
Okay, so another...
I'm talking EBITDA margin.
Okay, sir. Thank you. And one of my questions is, how many and which types of models are we planning to prepare for the electric vehicles in four-wheeler segment? And are we planning to go for the highly competitive two-wheeler and three-wheeler segments too?
So we have no plans in the two-wheel segment. But in the three-wheeler segment, for sure, our manufacturing is geared up for three-wheel, and the four-wheel plans will be announced shortly. I think not shortly. The four-wheel plans will be announced actually in the medium term. The four-wheel plant is not yet under construction. The first vehicle that we are taking out is a three-wheel reverse trike vehicle which we are coming out with, for which we have released the teaser also. So we will see that we will start in FY25 with the three-wheel platform and then grow to the four-wheel platform. But that four-wheel platform is at least a couple of years away.
Okay. Thank you. I will rejoin the queue.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Kaushik Mohan from Ashika Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations for the good set of numbers. Sir, I just wanted to understand your entire plan on the EV side, the EPC side, to we understand what is order books are coming and we are executing everything. Can you give the entire picture on next 4-5 years for at least on the EV side?
Sure. On the EV manufacturing side, like we just mentioned, the first car that we are coming out with is a two-door, two-seater, three-wheel car. Like I mentioned, the teaser for which is out on YouTube. We will be starting with the fleet car. After the fleet car in September of 24, we will come out with the cargo segment, and then subsequently we will come out with the urban passenger segment. So these will be the three models that we will build in the two-door, two-seater car using the same platform, same manufacturing facility. Post that, there are plans for four-wheel cars which are there, but all of that is right now at a design stage. So from a four-wheel perspective, we will be able to share more information with our shareholders. Perhaps in 1 year's time, we will be able to share more information.
Got it. Sir, because of our EV business, we are also having a new business coming into existence, that is leasing. Do we have any plan to divest this one side of the part of the business and list it in the market? Do we have any plans like that?
Yep. So I think if I look at all the three business segments, which is the EPC business, the EV manufacturing business, and the EV leasing business, all of them have a very large market and are very well positioned to become large valuable business in their own self. So at this time, perhaps we have taken a strategic call to kind of keep the businesses together. But going forward in the future, like you mentioned, 4 or 5 years, is there a possibility to demerge these businesses and evaluate individual listings? I think it will be a prudent case to do there, but all will depend on market conditions, our own conditions, et cetera, at that time. But can all of these three businesses become large businesses in itself and list independently and create shareholder value independently? I think the answer is yes.
Okay. So currently, what benefit are we getting that we have all three in one place? Any taxation benefits?
There is a lot of synergy on the team. There is a lot of synergy on financing. There is a lot of synergy in having one company which has some market cap, which can raise money from the equity, money in the equity markets. Also, on a standalone basis, the companies will be smaller and more difficult for them to survive on their own. It's the combined strength of the three businesses which takes it together.
Got it. Sir, and on the leasing business part, how much EBITDA level margins or like how much interest margins that we will be making? Currently, though, I understand that Blue Smart is buying leased Tata vehicles and then parent company is having the lease model. You're having the lease model. But here in GenSol, when the Blue Smart start buying it from GenSol, how the structure will be looking like and how much are we going to incur or like how much are we going to make money over here?
Yeah, so if you look at leasing business, the leasing business, we make about close to 4 to 5% in net interest margin. Our cost of debt is close to less 10-odd%, and we are able to lease out these vehicles at about 15-odd%. So there is a good net interest margin that we make. Apart from that, there a cash back which is received on vehicle purchase, there is a cash back on insurance, there is a cash back on maintenance, etc., which actually increases the profitability of the business. So that is how we see the business. The business is doing extremely well. We have very strong asset base. We have very strong cash flows in the business. EBITDA margins are north of 90%, so extremely strong EBITDA margins. Of course, interest cost is the biggest cost which is over there. And like I mentioned, we have majority of our debt or average of our debt is sub 10%. So we are doing extremely well on that.
Got it. And last and final thing, sir. In our, like if I see on SEBI website or on your website for FY22 financial statements annual report, sir, I think that annual report is not been properly uploaded or something because a lot of the pages in the middle from the page number 48 till page number 102, the entire file is missing. Can you please re-upload this document if possible?
We will do that. Thanks for pointing it out. We will immediately look into it and take immediate action on it.
Sure, sir. Thanks for that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Before we take the next question, we'd like to request participants to please limit your questions to 2 per participant. For follow-up questions, you may rejoin the queue. We take the next question from the line of Vineet Lambu from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Good afternoon, everyone. So I have a question on the EV lease business. So what kind of growth you're targeting on the AUM side? Like 800 crores is the present AUM, right? And what is the growth rate you're targeting? And if you can give the breakup of the four-wheelers and six-wheelers or eight-wheelers, that would be helpful. Like, and the EBITDA margins, how it would be varying on the two-wheelers or three-wheelers, four-wheelers and eight-wheelers. So is it or majorly four-vehicle leasing in these assets?
Sure. So first I will take the question on the growth of the leasing business. In terms of growth of the leasing business, as we speak, we have close to some 800 crore more of undrawn credit lines, which would mean like we can still draw those credit lines. So you would see that at least in the FY25, we will draw out all of those credit lines, and at least our asset base will double from where we are in the next FY. And with God's grace, we will be able to raise more credit lines for the leasing business, so the business might actually more than double in the coming year in FY25. In terms of our vehicle mix, today, I would say maybe close to 90% plus is in the four-wheel space, and about 10% is in the three-wheel cargo space or the four-wheel cargo space. So in cargo, we are doing both three-wheel and four-wheel, and about 10% of the leased assets will be in the cargo space.
Next question is, out of this 90% four-wheeler, what is the percentage leased to BluSmart and other players? Like, I want to understand the concentration of the four-wheeler business.
Yeah. So, we have given it to numerous customers. Today, we have more than 15 customers who have leased out vehicles from us, including, for example, in Bombay, we have done it with a player. In Calcutta, we have done it in Delhi and Gurgaon, we have done it in Bangalore, we have done it in Chennai, we have done it. So we have done it in a lot of cities. Of course, the leasing business started with BluSmart, and there is a significant amount of assets which have been leased to Blue, too. But the book is getting fairly diversified, and Amit, who joined us about 6 months back, his whole aim is to have the complete book extremely diversified so that there is no, as you mentioned, no concentration risk in the book.
Okay. Thank you. That's it from my end.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Tushar Sarda, from Athena Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. On EV leasing, what is the exact percentage of BluSmart in your book, out of 800 crore?
It'll be more than 50%.
Okay. And, how does the economics work? How much do you charge, and what is your cost of funds, in the EV leasing business?
Sure. So just like how I mentioned, sometime back, our cost of average cost of funds is sub 10%, and our average leasing is at about 15%. So that's where it's a 5% delta, which is there, approximate 5% delta, which is there. But also, depending on the credit worth of the customer, et cetera, et cetera, we are able to modulate some to great customers. We are giving a better interest, we are giving a better lease rate, and to customers, depending on how their profile is, we accordingly adjust the leasing rate to them.
What is the period of lease? 3 years, 4 years, or more?
So I think, maybe, half of the book at about 3 years and half of the book at about 4 years.
After the lease period, the vehicles will revert back to you, is that? Or they retain back?
After the lease period, the vehicles will be on the balance sheet of Gensol Lease, and we will be free to re-lease these vehicles or retrofit these vehicles with new batteries and put them on the road again. So what you will see in the leasing business, and thank you for bringing this out, is the fact that there is going to be a second life of these vehicles, and if we are able to create a good, prudent second life, and there is a lot of innovation that we are doing with there, and maybe in the coming quarters, we will talk more and more about the second life of the vehicles. If you are able to do in the second life of the vehicles, you will see that there will be no finance cost to it. The vehicles would have already been depreciated, so the margins in the PAT margins in the EV leasing business are going to go through the roof.
Okay. What is the balance sheet composition in terms of debt and equity of the EV leasing company?
So roughly, we have put in about close to 100 crore rupees into the EV leasing business as equity. And we have today drawn about close to 800 crore of debt, and we have like non-drawn credit limit of about close to another 800 crores. We also have about 150 crores of deposits from customers. So customers pay us about roughly between 10 and 20% of the asset value as a collateral. So we have about close to 150 crores of collaterals from customers.
And one question on EPC, if I can squeeze that in. In terms of megawatt installed, what would have been your run rate for the current quarter and what do you expect for the full year?
So roughly, we have done till date about 600. Between April and till date, we have done about 190 megawatts. But you would see that as the pace of the EPC business is growing extremely fast, perhaps what we did in 9 months, we will do in one quarter.
Okay. I'll come back in the queue. I have some more question on EPC, but I'll come back in the queue. Thank you.
Sure, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Vignesh Iyer from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congratulations on a strong set of numbers and thank you for the opportunity. My first question would be on the CAPEX side. What would be our CAPEX size plan for FY25?
So on the CAPEX side, if I look at the, there is no CAPEX that we are doing in the EPC business. So maybe, you know, small, very small, some 5, 10, 15 crore rupees CAPEX that we do in plant, in buying some machinery, etc. But of extremely small CAPEX when it comes to the EPC business. When it comes to the manufacturing business, we will do in the plant at Chakan, we will have to invest about close to 125, 130 crores more into building out the cargo vehicle and then the personal mobility vehicle. The CAPEX done, CAPEX for the fleet vehicle is complete. So from that perspective, we will need about 100-125 crores more of CAPEX that we will need in the EV manufacturing business. On the leasing business, if we consider purchase of car as CAPEX because they come on our book, I think we will, like we mentioned, we will be doubling our asset size. So at least we will be purchasing between 800 and 1,000 crores of vehicles in FY25.
Okay. So then just to understand what is the peak borrowing or peak debt that we are looking at for FY25? Or in a way, you can also say if the debt to equity stands at 3 right now, so what is the comfortable level you're looking at? If you could answer it on both side of it, I mean, perspective from debt to equity as well as the peak debt.
Sure. So I think the current net worth of the business is close to 300 crores and we have a debt of about 800-900 crores as we speak. So you are very right in pointing that the current debt to equity is about 3:1. As we have already announced and will request all our respected shareholders to also attend our EGM on 25th of Jan, wherein we are approving a 300 crore rupee fundraise. So subject to the EGM approving it, we will quickly raise about between 200 and 300 crores of new equity, which would mean that if I add up the profits that we are going to do in quarter four plus the equity that we raise, we will easily have a north of 600 crores kind of a net worth of the business, which would mean that we can take the borrowing at a 1:3 basis to about 1800 crore rupees, of which most of the borrowing will be in the leasing business and in the EV manufacturing business. Till date, we are debt free and the working capital limits in the EPC business are getting enhanced as we are scaling the EPC business very fast. But more or less, at the beginning of the FY25, we will have about close to 600 crores of net worth. Which, if I just say that let's say raise no more equity in FY25 and just accumulate the profits, we could easily hit the 750-800 crore kind of a net worth mark. So at the end of FY25, if our net worth is 7-800 crores and the debt is about 1800 crores, so we will be at about 1:2.5.
Okay. So basically, you are saying that we might hit this 1800 crore debt by the end of FY25 itself, right?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, then post that, if required, there could be a fundraise or I mean, you can, what is the comfortable debt to equity you are seeing? I mean, is 3:1 okay, or you are okay with 4:1 or higher levels?
Great question. Great question, sir. So, I would say if you look at the segments, three segments, in the EPC business, we roughly need about 45 days of revenue as working capital. So if we are going to scale up our EPC business to, let's say, in the future to about, let's say 2,000 crores of EPC business that we are able to scale up, then you will see we will need about close to 200 crores of working capital for the EPC business, which is a pure working capital line. In the EV manufacturing business, we actually have taken no debt, and the company and the business has been funded all through equity. In the leasing business, what we are seeing is that it's a financing kind of a business wherein, as per all, healthy standards, etc., 1:4, 1:5 is a very healthy kind of debt-equity ratio when it comes to pure leasing, which is also in a way a financing business which is there. So from that perspective, leasing business have still more leverage to go higher, but we will be conservative in the short and medium term. And maybe as the businesses mature, as the book matures, as we see more and more diversified customers, etc., we might take the leverage higher in the EV leasing business from 1:3 that we have right now. But we have to also assume that there is a lot of cash collateral that we get from the customers. As I mentioned, there is about 150 crores of cash collateral that we get. So that also acts as a quasi-equity for us.
Right. Just the last question. So what will be our blended cost of debt going ahead?
It's sub 10% today.
Okay. We'll raise around that level only, right?
Yeah, and I think if the interest rates fall in the future, as all of us are expecting, we could do slightly better.
I mean, the sourcing for the EV business, is it at a lower level? I mean, considering the nature of the business and the traction we have. If I'm not, we are tied up with IREDA, right? So.
Yes, so as you know, IREDA and PFC will be the best kind of source for this kind of debt, and they have given us absolutely large quantums. PFC has sanctioned us 550 crores. IREDA has till date has sanctioned us 780 crores. So the good quantum of debt that they have sanctioned to us for the EV leasing business and at very competitive rates.
Thank you. The next question is from Rahul Kothari from Grit Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi, Mr. Anmol. Congrats for a good set of numbers. I wanted to understand more on the EV lease segment. Is it like a pure play NBFC leasing financing kind of company, or we are exploring more on the operational EV management, fleet advisory as well into it, considering that the vehicles come back to us after a period of time? What sort of incremental advisory are we expecting into it?
So firstly, sir, this is an operating lease business which is there. In the operating lease business, it's not structured as financing, although our back calculations are all about the cost of capital at which we have raised and cost of capital and the cost at which we give it to our customers. But it is more than that. We are giving what we call as EV leasing life cycle, which starts with vehicle acquisition, but is also insurance management, maintenance management, accident and damage and claims handling, breakdown assistance, any value-added services, including charging infrastructure that our customers will need. So, and then the buyback, and then the take back of the vehicle from the customer and then redeploy it in second life. So it's not, if you will look at a typical bank or a NBFC which do a finance kind of a function, they just give the vehicle to the customer, and it is on the customer then to do maintenance management, breakdown, accident damage, insurance management. It is all the risk is on the customer, whereas we participate hand-to-hand with our customers in doing it. So it's more operational lease, and we want to delve into the group's skill set of managing large-scale EVs. If you look at it as founders of the two business that we have, Gensol and Blue Smart, we manage perhaps the largest fleet in the country. So we have great skill sets when it comes to managing these electric vehicles, including for second life, and hence we will always have a very substantial edge in how we do the life cycle management of these EVs that we are leasing, and hence this business is there. Our business is not just about financing the vehicle, but a complete EV leasing life cycle.
So, does it add to the competitive edge or while pitching this to external customers, or does it add to a cost for them while considering the proposal from our end compared to other players?
See, so there is, of course, if we are providing certain services, we will also take the billing from the customer for it. But is it value accretive to the customer? It is 100% value accretive to the customer. The customer today wants to focus on their business. They don't want to focus on how a breakdown will be managed. They don't want to focus what is going to happen if there is going to be an insurance claim. They don't want to focus about remembering when their insurances are due, etc., etc. And how can somebody best negotiate the insurance premiums? Because we at bulk are doing it for 800 crores of assets or maybe tomorrow 1500 crores of assets, whereas the individual customer might be doing for 5 crores or 10 crores of assets. So there is a vastly different value proposition that we are able to offer to our customers, which increases our competitive edge as well as increases our margins, because to the customer it is value accretive, whereas because we do all of these things in bulk, including the purchase of vehicles, we are able to substantially add value to our own balance sheet also and P&L accounts.
Okay, interesting. So one question on this Middle East part, we got a good order from, I guess, Dubai. So how, like, what sort of opportunity or what kind of vision we are having on the basis that we have secured this order? What kind of picture are we expecting in other countries as well?
So as of now, we are only looking at the UAE market. We are not expanding beyond the UAE market. As we expand beyond the UAE market, we will know all our respected shareholders about it. But today, it is all about the UAE market. And in the UAE market, as we speak, we have a 180 crores order book, 180 crores of orders that we have signed up from three very prestigious customers, Dubai Municipal Corporation, Dubai Government, and Etihad. These are the three customers that we have there, and the business is shaping up well. It's the margins in UAE are better than the margins in India. So we are very happy with how it is scaling up, but as of now, only focused towards UAE.
Okay, okay. And so just last one more question to add into EPC part. Earlier been more towards solar-based EPC products. Now, considering hybrid systems coming into play, more battery energy, wind and hydrogen plays are into picture. So how, as a Gensol, gearing up for the same across the three sectors?
Sir, as we had announced to the stock exchange also, Gensol won its first hydrogen project about 1 month back with NHPC, and we are bidding for a few more hydrogen projects as we speak. So hydrogen will surely be a part of the growth story in the EPC side as we go. On the battery storage, we are absolutely closely tracking the developments, and maybe in the future you will see that whether it is round-the-clock power tender or any other kind of tenders which are coming on the BESS side or the battery energy system side, you will see active participation from us, and hopefully we should be able to in some time, maybe a quarter or two, announce some good wins in the BESS side.
Okay, okay. That's it for my end. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Tirith Kosar from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on the great set of numbers. I just wanted to ask on the EV mobility leasing business segment. So all the value-added services that you provide are billed additionally to the 15% rate of interest, or is it included?
No, it is additional.
It is additional. Okay. And so how much do you charge as a percentage of the AUM for the additional service?
The business is just started to emerge, and we have seen that some value-added services, insurance is one value-added service that we have been providing for long, but there are other value-added services which we have just started billing to the customers for, and as more and more customers are seeing proof of concept of these value-added services, they are asking us for more. But as we speak, it will start to shape. You will maybe in the coming quarter see of maybe we could start reporting differently on how the lease income is shaping up and how the value-added service income is shaping up. But we will definitely say that in a leasing business, in a mature leasing business, about 30% profits come in from value-added services. If I have to say that when we will be a mature leasing business, you will see about 30% of profits coming in from value-added services.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Jain from Aurelius Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. My question is, out of the total EPC order book that we have, how much proportion is balance of system and how much is turnkey? Hello, am I audible?
Yeah, you're audible. Thank you. In terms of balance of system, our first endeavor is that we have to go into a balance of system projects only, except for certain PSU customers where the order is turnkey. But if we look at historically, about from a megawatt perspective, maybe it is 75 in favor of BO balance of system and 25% in favor of modules. But as a revenue, it is almost 50-50 because the module systems have a much larger kind of a weightage in terms of contract value. So in maybe in terms of order value, it is 50-50, but in maybe in terms of megawatt, it is 75-25.
So the question is, how do we hedge for the risk of volatility in the prices of panel when we've taken a turnkey contract?
It's absolutely essential, and what we need to do is that we need to secure the supplies of the panels at competitive rates when it goes. So this year, if we are if I look at FY24, where we are going to do, let's say, 900 crores plus of EPC revenue, you will see that we would have procured in this year close to 200 crores of modules. In this 200 crores of modules that we are kind of purchasing, I think now the risk has come down slightly lower because there is no import risk which is there, given the fact that duties on solar modules have become very high and almost 90% of all our purchases is domestic now. So with that, our freight risk, container price risk goes out, our dollar risk goes out. The pricing risk still raises, but generally while are bidding for the contracts, we sign up pre-bid agreements with module manufacturers, and in the pre-bid stage itself, we have contracted on the price at which we will procure the modules, and our module price is locked in at the pre-bid stage itself.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sumitra Joshi from HNI. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Hello?
Yeah, you're audible, sir.
You may go ahead.
So, hi, Anmol. I am the one who constantly pings you on Twitter with the name Sammy Sosa. I don't know if you remember or not. So, I've been in touch with you for a long, long time. So, I've been a follower of this company and investor for quite some time now. And I would like to thank you because you played a major role in changing my life. So, that's one thing. And I hope this is just
thank
the start.
So
and there is...
So happy we can contribute.
Yeah. And thank you so much for that. And I hope this is just the start. So that was the first part to it. The second part where the questions come in is one, this is more on the EV manufacturing piece. So I was going through one of your interviews where you mentioned in BlueSmart that 70 to 90% of the rides are single seater rides. And with the EV manufacturing coming in, is it that there is going to be an extreme synergy between BlueSmart and GenSol where these particular vehicles can be used for BlueSmart for targeting this audience, thus one benefiting GenSol also because obviously BlueSmart itself is expanding very well. And second thing for BlueSmart per se, because if you get in the EV, which is a smaller EV probably, which will have less consumption, the rates of BlueSmart will also either get in control or probably reduce over a period of time, thus providing a competitive edge to BlueSmart as compared to the other competitors in the market with respect to the cabs part. Is this understanding correct?
Yep. So your understanding is absolutely correct. So I will start with, the whole rationale of bringing in a small urban car. The rationale of bringing in a small urban car is that even with more and more public transport coming online and more roads getting then still the traffic jam situations in the country are just getting worsened. What we realize is that in most, and you, when you go on the road, you will see in most of the cars, at least two or three seats are left empty. When those two or three seats are mostly left empty, it just creates unnecessary congestion. From that perspective, there is a very important need for an urban, small urban car to come in. That was the original thesis. When we looked at the data, and like you rightly pointed out, and in one of my interviews, I have mentioned that north of 70% of trips on BlueSmart are actually single user trips. And if I do kind of a comparison with the BlueSmart competition, with our Tata Tigor car, we are able to compete on what is the Uber Prime segment, the Prime segment on Uber. There is no Go segment car which is available in the country on electric mobility. So in the Go segment, typically you have the Altos, Datsuns and all of that they run. But in the electric vehicle, there is none of these small cars which are available and which we believe is a great market, not just for Blue, but for every fleet operator which is there. Imagine if customers are paying rupees 25 per kilometer for the Tata Tigor car, they'll be very happy to travel in a very safe car, in a very nice car, which is maybe two-door, two-seater, but which comes at about 15-16 rupees a kilometer. So from that perspective, it is going to be very interesting for our customers and for us to create this entire Go category when it is Go category on the BlueSmart, and it is not just going to be BlueSmart, but I'm sure internationally as well as domestically you will see a lot of fleets adopting to the small EV car. The small EV car is the solution to unit economics. The small EV car is the solution to congestion, and these are big problems of the business and of the country.
Exactly. So those were the two points that I was coming to, solving of problems. You've already mentioned that. Yeah, correct. So fair enough. That's a fair point. Second thing, I think everyone's asked you about the revenues and FY25, FY26, all, everyone's got that. So that's fine. I am more looking at, like, since, because I've been a long-term investor in this company, I would just like your view, let's say not for a year or two, let's say the next 5 years, where do you see GenSol going in the next 5 years? Where do you see it reaching?
So I think I'll try to share a three-year kind of a revenue projection with you. So I easily feel that from FY24, we will be five times our size in about 3 years. That's our aspiration, and we are working, and our team is working extremely hard for it. The solar business is on a very strong footing, and the sectoral tailwinds are extremely strong. The EV leasing business is on a very good trajectory, and with Amit now leading the EV leasing business, who's a very capable leader, I expect that this business will also double, in FY25, double and so on. Our EV manufacturing business will reach a steady state of production in about 2 years' time, and we will realize the full potential of the plant. So all in all, I think our aspiration is very clear to be five times our current size in about 3 years' time.
By current size, you mean at this particular moment, not FY23?
At FY24 size, yes.
Acha, five times of FY24. Oh, that's a big goal. Fair enough.
Yeah. Okay.
So like it's thousand into 3 years. Thousand into five. That's like 5,000.
Yes.
Hello. Oh damn, that's good.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And last, just one question is on this entire creating EV. There is an entire ecosystem that needs to be there, where it's not only about you or the other manufacturers, but it's also about the government involvement. And I'm talking about the charging stations, etc., which is going to take EV to the next level, like it has happened in the developed countries. So is there a roadmap that the government is working with you all with respect to ensuring that that entire ecosystem of EV charging is created across the country? Because that in itself would be the base, which would, at least my understanding is that it would really catapult EV adoption across the country.
Yep. So from that perspective, I think I would say it is less about the government and more about private institutions, which will put in the, I think government is best left just to policy creation and not actually do business. So from that perspective, we are looking at a lot of private companies, and it's like the largest of the companies starting, who are setting up a Tata Power and GOBP and all of them setting up a lot of charging stations, to smaller startups also which are doing. I think every possible charging company in the country speaks to us. courtesy the fact that we are perhaps the largest operator of EV fleet in the country, including our leasing businesses now giving out leasing to a lot of customers. So from that perspective, a lot of charging companies do speak to us. There is solid traction which is developing on the charging infrastructure. I think already there is some very solid work which is happening. Is it going to pick up? I think it's every day is becoming more and more better on the charging infrastructure. Will we be able to have a omnipresent charging infrastructure in the next few years? I think the answer is yes.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to participants to please limit your questions to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Sachdeva from Sajag Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, Mr. Sachdeva. Please go ahead.
Yeah, and also whatever revenue you are talking about in the EV risk manufacturing business, but Gensol Engineering has just 58% stake according to your current this results in, I am seeing the results in the 58% stake we have in the EV this private limited manufacturing. So are you talking about the revenue considering this 58% or it will be deducted? I mean,
no. So if the capital structure of the business is that we have 58% of equity shares, and the entire equity that we have infused into the business is via optionally convertible debentures which we have issued. So as we speak, there is like more than 100 crore rupees of optionally convertible debentures that we have issued, which would convert at some day, and it can be converted at the will of Gensol Engineering. When we convert the optionally convertible debentures into equity, you will see that the percentage of equity share ownership that Gensol Engineering will have in this subsidiary will rise up very substantially, and will be close to 90-odd%, and will be or very close to that number, because we have also issued stock options to Prateek, who is the founder of the business and from whom we had acquired it, and also to our team members who are building the business. So except for Prateek and the team, 100% of the business will be held by Gensol Engineering, and that 58% number will go up when we convert the optionally convertible debenture into equity.
Okay. And my last thing question is, I hope you are not looking for any demerger of these three companies, these manufacturing and this.
We are not looking at it in the short term or the medium term, perhaps in the long term.
Okay. Thank you. That's from my side. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Garvit Goyal from Envis Analytics. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity again. You mentioned 2000 CR for FY25. So can you give a breakup in terms of EPC, EV leasing and EV manufacturing?
Yeah, so on the EV manufacturing side, it is going to be about close to 300 crores. On the EV leasing side, it is going to be about close to 400 crores, and about 1300 crores will come from EPC.
Understood, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tushar Sarda from Athena Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity again. On the EPC side, you know, the targets that government has given is around 40,000 megawatt of solar. So what kind of projects you participate in out of this 40,000 megawatt, and what is your addressable market, so to say, and what is your market share? I want to understand a little more about this industry.
Sure, sir. So if you see, we do not do residential solar. So residential solar will be close to maybe 3,000-4,000 megawatts out of the 40,000 megawatts. So potentially our market is about 35,000 megawatts that we can do. In this year, in the current FY24, we have executed 190 megawatts. And so there is a huge amount of upside which is there. In the coming year, our projection is to do about close to 600 megawatts. So out of 40,000, we will be at about 600 megawatts in FY25, or out of 35,000 megawatt, which is our addressable market, we will be at about 600 megawatts.
Okay. And how can you increase this share?
So, we are, of course, increasing the share. The very fact that our quarterly numbers have increased by 300% year on year, and we will continue to show these kind of growth, means that our market share is going up, and so we are working towards it. I think we have to work in a way that we do not want to kind of make the number grow unsustainably fast. We are very happy with the 100-200% kind of yearly growth that we are giving, and we will continue to remain in that range. So you would see us for a very long time to grow with these kind of numbers, because there is so much of headroom that we have in terms of market share that we can grab. While the market itself is becoming larger, so it's 40,000 megawatt, maybe for FY25, by FY30, this could be a 1 lakh megawatt market, and from like a sub 2% market share, maybe we could be at 6-7% market share by FY30. So both the market and our market share is increasing. So I think this is the sector to be in.
Well, let me put my question in a different way, because I'm trying to understand the market and the size in which you operate. So is there a project size which you do and beyond which you don't do? Because we hear this.
We do not do residential solar, sir. So we do not do residential solar. So you will not see us doing 1 kilowatt, 2 kilowatt, 5 kilowatt kind of projects. You will see us doing large-scale rooftops, which is industrial and commercial rooftops, and you will see us doing large grid-connected power plants.
Okay. But you will not do the pure solar park, like 500 megawatt, 1,000 megawatt kind of thing?
No, we're not doing that. We're not building any. I think our sweet spot today lies in the fact that we love to get orders which are between 50 crores rupees on the smaller side and maybe 400 crores on the larger side. So between 50 and 400 crores is our sweet spot on the orders. So anything north of 400 crores, maybe we will avoid it for FY25, and maybe as our balance sheet strength and execution strength kind of increases, we will maybe in FY26 pick up more larger orders. But for FY25, we will pick it up maybe 50 crores at the minimum end and 400 crores at the top end.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank
you very much. We'll take that as the last question. I would now like to hand the conference back to the management team for closing comments.
So thank you, everybody. Thank you, Siddesh from EY, who is our investor relations manager. Thank you for that. Thank you to all our respected shareholders to participate on the call and listening to us. It's been a great quarter for us, and we are extremely happy that we have been able to demonstrate good numbers. I thank you for your belief in us, and I am sure with the hard work that the team is putting in, we will continue to deliver stellar numbers and create shareholder value. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Gensol Engineering Limited, that concludes the conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.